our prayers. Many times we think it's automatic that if we, you know, pray enough, like if we say enough rosaries or we spend so many hours or we go to church so many times, we're automatically going to get whatever we're praying for, which is not really correct, right? Because if we think of it that way, it's like comparing God to a vending machine. And many of us, I think, kind of treat God unconsciously as a vending machine.
Hello, this is Jude, and welcome to Sundays for Seekers. Father Jay, why did we call our podcast Sundays for Seekers again?
Hi, Jude. Well, we thought it would be a good title because that's what we are, right? We're just a bunch of seekers asking our questions about our faith, and we're hoping to discuss those questions so we can understand our faith better.
Ah, yes. Faith seeking understanding.
Exactly.
So let's get on to our burning question for today.
Every Sunday, Pins of Light comes up with a one-minute homily, something to provoke you into prayer and reflection. Get your weekly Sunday gospel fix. Follow the Pins of Light Facebook page at facebook.com/pinsoflight. Also available in Filipino at facebook.com/pinoylights.
This podcast is brought to you by SMART, Live Smarter for a Better World, and Unilab. Alagang tunay, alagang Pilipino, Unilab yan. Father Jay, you know, I've been seeing a lot of posts, tweets, and even IG stories asking for prayers. And it's been going on for many months, even more than a year now. And aside from these, we've been praying Oratio Imperatas here and there, prayers, and even saying the rosary more than once every day. And yet we're still here. So my burning question for today is, do prayers actually work? And does God answer our prayers?
Wow, that's a great burning question. And it's really relevant these days. No, as you said, we've been bruising our fingers with our rosary beads, bruising our knees in prayer. And it's only natural for this question to occur to us, right? So do prayers work? Makes you wonder after waiting so long and the pandemic is still here. And does God always answer our prayers? Maybe that's a good way to begin, Jude, by asking you, what do you think? What has been your experience? Has God always granted your prayers?
Well, definitely not, Father. Looking back at my life of prayers and pleading from God, He hasn't answered every single one. And it hasn't been easy, definitely. But one consoling thing for me is that throughout those times of God not answering my prayers or seemingly not answering my prayers, I am reminded of this line I read from a homily of yours, actually, about the wind, when you said, in one of your homilies, always without fail, God will send His wind. And I think even when He does not answer my prayers, He finds a way to send His wind. And that's how He answers His prayers, even if it's not what I need or want at that time.
Well, I don't even remember that homily, but yeah, thanks. Thanks for remembering it. Well, you know, I'm glad you said that God hasn't always granted your prayers, because I would have been envious. Because that's also my experience, you know, in all the years that I've, you know, prayed to the Lord, I would say He did not always say yes to my prayers. But as you said, I suppose He always answers my prayers, except that the answer isn't always the answer I want, right? I think one way for us to make sense of this question is to begin to think about what is non-negotiable in our faith. What do we have to say about God before we answer that question? And I think very clearly from the gospel, from the church teachings, our non-negotiable is God really cares for us. And if God really cares for us, He wants the best for us, right? But at the same time, God is also all-knowing. He's all-wise. So He should also know what's best for us. So before we answer that question, if God always answers our prayer, it's important to have that as a starting point, that God always knows what's best for us and always wants what's best for us. So if we agree on that, then I think we have to say that the times when He grants our prayers, when He actually says yes to us and gives us our wish, then it's something that's good for us. This means that sometimes when we pray for something, it may not be good for us. And as you said, you may want it, but it may not be what you need. And of course, God knows better. No? I don't know. There are some examples we can think of. Like, I remember when I was a kid, there were many things I prayed for that weren't exactly important. Like I wanted the latest toy. I was into the matchboxes. I don't know if you're familiar with them, those little cars. And I really kept praying for the newest model, you know, and obviously that's not always good, right? So I didn't always get my heart's desire at that time. I don't know if you can think of another example that's a little more profound than that.
Well, same, Father. As a kid, definitely there are prayers that are not always answered. But maybe another one would be taking exams, right? When you take exams and you pray and pray and pray, but you still flunk your exam or you still don't get the score that you wanted. So that's another, I guess, another example growing up of how prayer does not always work as we want it to work.
That's a great example because I identify with that. You know, there were many times when I prayed for a very good grade and sometimes I didn't get it. And maybe it's because it's not what I need. No? Maybe God knew that if I got those high grades, I'd just be arrogant and proud. So, you know, so that's one of the things I think that we have to consider when we talk about God granting our prayers. Many times we think it's automatic that if we, you know, pray enough, like if we say enough rosaries or we spend so many hours or we go to church so many times, we're automatically going to get whatever we're praying for, which is not really correct, right? Because if we think of it that way, it's like comparing God to a vending machine. And many of us, I think, kind of treat God unconsciously as a vending machine. In a vending machine, you have a drink or a snack that you want. And all you got to do is insert the coins, the right amount of money, or insert your card, pay for it, and automatically you'll get it. And sometimes we tend to think of prayer that way, that prayer is like, you know, paying a vending machine. But as we know, it doesn't always happen. First of all, God is free, you know? God is free to decide whether to grant us our prayers or not. He's not under our control, no? If it's like a vending machine, then it's almost like we can bribe Him or manipulate Him to grant our prayers. But another non-negotiable is God is all-powerful. He is free. He will give us what He thinks we need at the time He thinks we need it. So we have to ask ourselves, do we sometimes think of God as a vending machine? Because if we do, I think we'll be frustrated, right? Because sometimes even if we're praying for something really good, no matter how hard we pray, no matter how many sacrifices we make to accompany our prayers, sometimes we don't get it. And I think in those moments, we just have to trust God that He knows and wants what's best for us. The example I can give there is, of course, so many people have prayed so hard for their loved ones who got infected by the virus and their loved ones still got sick and some of them died. No, so moments like that, we don't understand. It doesn't make sense, right? But we just have to pray, we just have to trust God that He's not just going to give us what we ask for just because we do the right number of prayers. He knows best, no? And He wants what's best for us.
You know, Father, I remember an Instagram story I read from a friend of mine asking for prayers for a family member. But it's interesting because she started her statement by saying, I don't really believe in praying, but I do believe that prayer works when a lot of people pray for the same intention. And I think it's the same with the vending machine God you're talking about. It's as if she was asking for help to help me fill this vending machine up with coins so I'll finally get what I want.
There's but a little bit of that. Yeah, there's a little bit of that, Jude. I think we have to be careful that we should not think of it as automatic, right? That, right. You say the number of prayers, enough prayers, or you get enough people to pray with you, and automatically it's going to be granted. Having said that, however, I will say that there is value in a lot of people praying for the same thing. Because if God cares for us, if He's involved in our life, He will listen, right? And if more people ask for something, God will listen more. And remember, that's what our Lord said, ask and you shall receive, no? Knock and the door shall be open. What our Lord didn't say was, ask and you will automatically receive all the time, right? And knock and automatically the door will be open. But if we knock a lot and we ask a lot and a lot of people join us, there is value there because God can listen. But having said that also, let's remember what we said about the open system, no? That God created an open system, which means that He is not like the scientist and He has decided not to exercise full control over all the events in the world, over decisions of people, and over how the laws of nature will work, right? So I think it's important to sort of acknowledge that God may listen to our prayers and He may give us what we need, but He will not interfere with the open system in general. So when we actually pray, when we pray for something and a lot of people join us in praying for something, I think there are three possible scenarios. The first is God may say no, because what we're asking for is something we want, but it's not something we need and it's not good for us. And God knows better. So He will say no. So that's one possibility. And I think it's important for us when we're praying that we acknowledge that there's a possibility. We're not treating God as a vending machine. We're not going to force Him. We're not going to feel bad if He says no. Although sometimes, of course, we feel really bad when what we're asking for is really important for us and God doesn't grant that, right? You know, I have many friends who stopped going to church or stopped praying because they were so heartbroken that all their heartfelt prayers were not granted. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them because I felt the same way. You know? I don't know if you have friends like that or you've heard of people like that, Jude.
Actually, Father, I do have a lot. I have a lot of friends who always say, what's the point of praying, of going to Mass when I don't get what I want? And at the same time, it does not seem that God hears me. And I think one of the things that does not help this situation is how instant everything is in our world. And as you've been mentioning again and again, we have to remember that prayer is not one of those things that is instant. It will never be instant for that matter, because it really takes time and it's practically not your timeline that's being followed. It's not what you want and it's not your timeline that God does things or responds to things as well.
Yeah, and there's a saying, right? In God's time, it's not our time, but God's time. And when we react that way, when we expect God to grant our prayers automatically, we're really treating Him like that vending machine. No? And when you think about it, it's very similar to superstitions, right? Because in superstitions, as long as you do some things, you will avoid bad luck or you'll be able to get something. So it's that kind of transactional relationship where I'll pay God something, either prayers or sacrifices or whatever rituals I have to do. And then God is automatically forced or pressured to grant what we're asking for. But it doesn't work that way. If God is all powerful, we have to respect His freedom. At the same time, He knows better what's best for us. So the first scenario really is God saying no, you know, God. And I think when we're praying, when we're asking for something, we have to be humble and acknowledge that you're asking, you're not forcing. So God can really say no. That's a real possibility, especially if what we're asking for is not good for us. It's not our need, but it's only something we want, right? But that's only the first scenario. The second scenario is God says yes. God agrees with us that what we're praying for is something good for us. It's something we need, no? Especially when more people are praying with us. He will give us what we need, no? The only problem is we live in an open system. So God may want to give us what we need, but other people may get in the way. For example, let's say I'm praying. Let's say I grew up in a family that's very violent. And, you know, like my parents were always fighting, for example, or maybe one of my parents had a drinking problem, so that was losing his temper and fighting with my mom, for example. And I prayed to God every night, Lord, please give me a more normal, less dysfunctional family, right? And God agrees with you that, of course, God thinks nobody deserves a family like that, right? But it takes the decision of your parents as well. They have to cooperate. If you're, for example, if your alcoholic father refuses to mend his ways, and your mother refuses to be more patient or learn how to deal with your father, things are still going to explode at home, right? So again, it's an open system. God will not be a dictator and take over and force your father to reform, to go on rehab, for example. So even if God says yes, there is no guarantee that it'll be granted, because it requires the cooperation of other people. No, so that's what complicates things, I think. So even if what we pray for is good, it's very possible that it won't happen. Whatever it is we're asking for won't really happen because other people get in the way or other events get in the way. How does that make you feel, Joe? Do you think that's true? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, Father, because it really plays around the free will of people. What comes to mind would be relationships, and how when, let's say, in a relationship, somebody cheats and has another relationship, but is given a second chance. And so the prayer becomes, Lord, please don't allow that to happen again. However, of course, as you've mentioned, even if God thinks that it should not happen again, you should not get hurt, and the person shouldn't cheat on you anymore, that person still has the free will to do it again, right?
Exactly.
And it's the letdown that gets to you because of the open system, as you've mentioned.
But remember, in the open system, God is a gardener, which means that even if he allows, freedom and all that, he's still involved. So what happens is, when God agrees with us and wants to grant us our prayer, for example, the example I gave, a more peaceful family, the example you gave, a more maybe faithful partner, right? What God would do is, he's not just going to be idle. He's going to try to encourage, for example, the alcoholic father to mend his ways. He will find ways to sort of, influence him to do better, to keep encouraging him. But of course, that's no guarantee still. The father can still refuse to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, right? And in the same way, if God wants to help somebody praying for a faithful partner, certainly God will not just not do anything. God will certainly get to work and try to encourage the partner to be faithful, reminding him or her. But again, the freedom is there. The partner can say no and reject all the influences from God. So that's really what complicates, I think, how prayers work. So that's the second scenario. God actually says yes, but because we live in an open system, other people get in the way or other events get in the way, and we don't actually get what we're praying for. So just because we don't get something doesn't mean God didn't say yes. It's very possible that the people whose cooperation he needs are not cooperating, are not saying yes. There has to be an alignment. There's a saying, right? The stars have to be aligned. It's not so much the stars that need to be aligned, but people need to be aligned with what God wants to do. If we're not aligned with his will, many prayers will not be granted, because God respects our freedom. So that's the second scenario. The second scenario is, God actually says yes, but doesn't interfere and control things, right? So that's the second one. But there's a third scenario, and that's the good news, no? The third scenario is, even if there's no alignment, God will close the system. But that's very rare. That's really very exceptional. And this is what we call miracles. When miracles happen, it's like all the natural causes, all the psychological causes don't align. It doesn't make sense. And yet a miracle happened. No? And of course, the classic examples for that are those miraculous healings in Lourdes. I mentioned Lourdes because Lourdes is that place where people go to when they're sick and doctors have given up on them. And then when they go there, they pray, they bathe in the waters from the spring, the miraculous water there. In fact, there's a saying there that if you bathe there and you're holy, immediately the water will dry up as the moment you finish bathing. No, and just a side story, I went there a few years ago and I was so soaked afterwards. I don't know what God's trying to tell me. There was no miracle there. But anyway, going back to our topic, what happened was the people who actually get a cure, their case is inspected and really studied by physicians there before they're declared a miracle. So they rule out all the natural causes, all the possible natural causes, no? And then only afterwards are their cases declared miracles. And these are cases of God closing the system. It doesn't make sense because all the natural reasons tell you there's no hope anymore for this person to be cured. The person can't walk anymore, or the cancer can't be cured anymore, but miraculously it happened. So it's possible that God would close a system. And I think that's a great consolation for us. Except, as we know, it doesn't happen most of the time. It's more of an exception to the rule. So I think what this tells us is we really have to keep praying. You know, even if we don't always get our prayers all the time immediately, we have to keep praying because who knows? It's possible that God may decide to close the system, no? Or he may succeed in convincing other people to align with his will so that what we pray for can be granted. So a lot of faith is needed when we're, you know, saying prayers or petition.
Does it make sense, Father, for me to say that just like how God, as a gardener, nurtures the world and the people in the world, and it takes time, we too should keep that relationship or keep praying to nurture that relationship with the Lord and nurture that prayer and faith that we have, so that in a way, both will hopefully align someday or somehow. And even if it doesn't take as fast as we wanted, or even if we don't get what we want in the long run, what's important is that we do keep the faith, and we do keep on, in a way, nurturing what we can on our side as God nurtures what he does on his side.
Yeah, we shouldn't give up. We should keep praying and trusting God. You know, for example, that example that I gave earlier about the child who's praying for a peaceful family, you know, and then God, of course, agrees with the child and wants to give that child a peaceful environment at home. And God gets to work and tries to influence the parents to do the right thing. Let's say the parents, for whatever reason, whether deliberately or because they lack the emotional resources, are unable to respond to God, and the violence continues at home, right? But God is a gardener. Even if the prayer doesn't actually take effect, God is still there helping the child. So even if the child did not get what he or she originally prayed for, he or she might get something even better, no? And in this case, it's possible that what God will grant, give the child, is a lot of resilience, you know, a lot of strength, a lot of emotional resources. So the child may not have gotten the peaceful family that he was praying for, but in the process, God gave that child an even more valuable grace, no? Which is the child became stronger and is able to cope with whatever happens in his life because of this unfortunate experience. So God's like that. God may not be able to grant us every single prayer we ask for because of other people, but he will give us something more that we need. So if we give up, we won't get it. So we have to keep praying. As you say, we have to keep nurturing that relationship with God. So I think that's important to point out.
I remember, Father, this line from a song by Hangad, In Your Own Way. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the song, but the chorus or the main line goes, in your own way, in your own time, in your own wisdom, not in mine.
You know, it doesn't sound familiar. I think you should sing it for me. Can you?
I think we can just play it, Father.
Okay. So maybe let's not go there.
Let's not go there.
But yeah, those lines capture exactly the kind of trust that we want people to have. So I think when we're praying, when we're asking for something from God, the first thing to remember is he's not a vending machine. We should not try to bribe or manipulate him so that he will automatically grant us our prayer. He can say no. But when he says no, we have to trust that he's doing it out of love for us. That maybe it's not what we need. It's something we want, but it's not good for us. And secondly, it's possible that he may say yes, but he does not close the system, no? But of course, the last possibility is God may close the system. So we have to keep praying. No? We should not give up asking because we will receive. We may not receive what we originally asked for, but we will certainly receive something valuable from the Lord. No? We just have to keep knocking on that door. And sometimes a wider door can be opened, no? So we'll receive a grace, a blessing that's much better than we were asking for in the first place. So to go back to the burning question, does prayer work? I think yes. No? Does God always grant us our prayer? Maybe not exactly what we ask for, but certainly because He is like the gardener who cares for us, who loves us. He will give us whatever we need, and sometimes whatever we need is much better than what we ask for in prayer. So we have to keep praying.
Thank you, Father. And picking up from what you mentioned, most important things I'll be taking is that we need to trust, we need to be patient, and we need to keep at it. Because if we don't do any of those three, then that's when we tend to feel that we pray in vain and there's nothing really, or there's no point in what we're doing, especially when it comes to prayer.
We have to remember what our Lord said, no? Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened. That's absolutely true. What He didn't say was you will always receive what you ask for, right? You will receive something and it'll be better maybe, right? And He also didn't say the same door will be opened. Sometimes it's a wider door that will be opened, a better door. So we have to keep, we have to keep asking. We should not give up, even if sometimes we are discouraged because it seems that our prayers are not being granted, or it seems that God is not listening to us. But you know, Jude, prayer isn't just about asking for things. Huh? When you ask, if our burning question is, do prayers work? When we talk about prayers or petitions, we've discussed that earlier, right? But prayer isn't just about asking for something. You talked about relationship, right? Because after all, at the end of the day, our spirituality is about our relationship with God, no? And can you imagine being in a relationship where one party is always asking for things? You know, from send me naman, pasalod mo naman ako, or give me naman this or that. Medyo hindi naman relationship yun. It's too one way, right? So prayer is more than asking for things. It's really building that relationship with God. And that means not just talking to God, but also listening to Him, which is another burning question. How do we listen to God, right? But it's the art of learning how to listen to God. Because obviously usually God doesn't speak to us in human language. He does that once in a while, again, in miraculous moments, no? When you're having a vision, no? But that's very rare, again, no? It happens, but it's very rare. If somebody comes to me and says, well, God told me this, I'd be a little bit suspicious at first. I wouldn't immediately believe, right? But God speaks to us in very subtle ways. So we have to learn how to do that. So I think prayer at the end of the day isn't just asking for things. Just like in a relationship, prayer is about spending time with the Lord, you know, and creating memories with Him. In short, it's like including the Lord in our experiences. For example, let's say we're taking a walk and we see a beautiful flower. You know, we tell the Lord, look, thanks for this. This is a beautiful flower. It really raised my spirit. We're including the Lord in our experiences. I think that's already prayer, no? So it's really spending time with the Lord, allowing Him to keep us company and creating memories with Him. Because that's what we do in relationships, right? We try to create memories together. And the more memories you create together, the deeper the relationship is. And that's really what prayer is. It isn't just about asking for things, although that's important. It's about being together, spending time together. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, Father. Actually, I'm guilty of that sometimes because usually we turn to God when we need something. And that's when prayer comes in as a petition. But the rest of the time, He's not there, right? We only run to Him when we need something, when we're in dire need, or when we're very happy that we got what we wanted. So we run to Him and we tell Him that thing that we got. But in the middle part, that longer middle part, we tend to forget that He's there and we do not necessarily get to include Him in the life that we live, as you mentioned.
That's so true. But at the same time, you're not alone there. Even I go through all those, the same experience, no? I tend to neglect the Lord if I don't exert the effort, especially when you get busy, right? You tend to neglect the Lord. But, you know, an image that might be helpful is the Lord's just beside us all the time, just waiting to be included, no? He just wants, it's like a guy waiting for your text. So, you know, so in a way, we have every opportunity to do that. We can always include Him. We just have to be mindful about it. So, because if we forget that it's a relationship, the Lord is a person, no, who cares for us and who appreciates our love, right? So if we, the more we include Him in our life, the more we share our experiences with Him and create memories with Him, the more, the deeper the relationship will be, you know? We should not reduce God to a vending machine that we only ask for things, no? Or we thank Him lang when we get the things, as you said. So that's something I think that everyone can identify with. And it's a great reminder for everyone, including myself. So thanks for that.
Thank you too, Father. So just to wrap everything up, as you said, do prayers work? Yes, they do. And God answers them, but we don't always get the answer we want. However, what's important is that we always remember that He knows what is best for us. He wants what is best for us because He cares for us and He is all-powerful as well. And most importantly, prayer is not just petition or pleading. Prayer is a relationship that we continuously nurture by including God in our lives, not just in good times and in bad times, but even in the mundane things that happen throughout our days and our lives. So thanks again, Father. If you want to subscribe to Sundays for Seekers, you can find us in all the usual places where you find podcasts. Be a Sunday Seeker by joining our Facebook group, Sundays for Seekers, at facebook.com/groups/Sundays4S. Tell your friends about us by using the hashtag Sundays4S. So Father Jay, what's your cross for us today, speaking of prayer?
Well, I have the perfect cross. It's a rather strange cross because if you look at it, the Christ figure has one leg amputated. And the reason is, I got this crucifix from a friend who was working in Bantay Priab, the Jesuit school for people with disabilities in Cambodia. As we know, there are a lot of people there with disabilities as a result of the landmine, a lot of amputees there. And it's a great and powerful symbol because the moment you see it, it provokes you, right? It provokes a lot of questions. What's going on here? Because the historical Jesus naman wasn't amputated. But I think this is a great crucifix for our topic today because when we said that prayer is a relationship, it's, you know, spending time with your friend. When you see a crucifix like this and you had that kind of experience, that kind of trauma, I think you will feel very close to this Jesus, right? So if prayer is about relationship, if prayer is about spending time and including the Lord in your experiences, this image of our Lord will certainly draw those who's had that experience, you know, the people with disabilities, to pray. And not only that, for me, this is just a symbol of our brokenness. You know? So people who are broken, which is everyone, right? People who have, you know, wounds or scars from life, if when they see a Jesus with an amputated leg, I think that draws us closer to Him. And so it draws us to prayer. And if prayer is about spending time with the Lord and sharing our experiences with the Lord, I think this crucifix is perfect for that. That's what I think anyway.
Thanks for that, Father. And that's a very interesting crucifix. I actually also have one, but it's a smaller one that you wear with the same Jesus amputated. Every episode, we have a takeaway question for our viewers and listeners. So for today, Father Jay, what would it be?
Well, let's ask our viewers and listeners a very practical question. We've been talking about prayer, right? And all of us, of course, know that we can always improve in our prayer life, all of us. So given all the things we talked about today, maybe a good takeaway question would be, what baby steps can you take to improve your prayer? Which is really another way of putting it is, what baby steps can you take to improve your relationship with the Lord? Remember, if prayer is about spending time and creating memories with the Lord and not just asking for petition, what are some of the things you can begin to do? Feasible things and nothing too great or too grand or too unreachable. Just simple things you can begin doing tomorrow, for example, or today, that can improve your prayer. I think that's a very practical takeaway question that might do your spiritual life a lot of good if you try to really reflect about it and try to answer it.
Thanks for that, Father. And it would really help we could actually help each other if we share our baby steps, because who knows, we might be able to learn and grab other baby steps from other people as well.
Yeah, for the comments, maybe what they can do is sort of share their tips, what has worked for them, and maybe our other Sunday seekers can learn from those tips.
And to end our episode, Father, we also, aside from asking a question, we answer one last question from our audience. And our question for today comes from Jesusa Gangoso. And she asked, why is it always difficult to maintain a prayerful life?
Well, I really identify with that question because it's a struggle for all of us. For me, and I can only share from my experience, I think the reason why it's so difficult to maintain a prayerful life is that there are so many distractions that seem more appealing to us, right? That seem more rewarding in the short term. And as you said earlier, Jude, we all want things instant. Prayer is not about getting your fix immediately. There's no guarantee you'll get what you ask for. So it takes a lot of maturity and patience. No? So it's so tempting to do things that are more productive, that are more rewarding immediately. So, and that's, I think that's why it's so difficult to maintain a prayerful life. It's like having a long distance relationship. It's because, you know, we don't see God, right? We don't always feel His presence. So it takes more effort to nurture that relationship. So I think that's why it's difficult to maintain a prayerful life. That's why I think if we want to improve our prayer life, we really have to exercise our faith. You know? And by exercise our faith, I mean, I'm really comparing faith to a muscle. We have to flex our muscle. If we don't exercise our faith, it's going to get weaker. You know? So because we don't actually see God the way we can see things when we're watching Netflix, for example, we don't hear God, we don't hear His voice. It takes a lot of faith to trust that He is listening to us and that we're nurturing a relationship with Him. So I think we need to, first of all, be patient, that it's human to find difficulty in maintaining a prayerful life. Because the last thing we should do is give up because it's difficult. No? Precisely because it's difficult, we have to try harder. And we have to encourage ourselves more. So that would be my answer to our Q&A.
Thank you, Father. And so that's it for our fourth episode. Keep sending us your burning questions and we'll try to discuss them in our next episodes to come.
Okay, Jude, thanks a lot again for a great conversation today. I really enjoyed talking about prayer because I think I needed to talk about it so that I can also improve my prayer life.
Same here, Father. Thank you too for reminding us that prayer takes time. Prayer needs trust, and we should not give up on prayer even if we don't get what we want and we don't get it instantaneously, much like many things in life right now.
So thanks to our viewers and listeners. I hope you let us know what you think, what you thought about our podcast today, which parts of the podcast you found helpful. So we'd be eager to get your feedback.
So friends, as always, keep on seeking.
That's right, keep on seeking.
The Sundays for Seekers logo was designed by Jem Jemson Tan. Our theme was composed by Marvin Ong. And this episode was produced with Glenn Lopez of Upstream Media PH. Sundays for Seekers has been brought to you by SMART, Live Smarter for a Better World. And Unilab, Alagang Tunay, Alagang Pilipino. Unilab yan!